We want to start with a very familiar scripture over in 2 Peter, the third chapter. And just a portion of that verse. It says, to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets. I believe that it doesn't matter how long this world lasts. I believe that we may hear very similar messages 100 times, many times. I believe that we have to have messages that stir up our pure minds to remember. You and I, we go about the cares of life, the duties of life, throughout the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe we come on prayer meeting night and sort of get a little refreshment, and we go back out and we face Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then we come for Sunday. And oftentimes, because of the cares of life, it's there to consume us, if you will. We can be consumed with the cares of life. And it takes being reminded of certain things down through our whole life. We will let it slip otherwise. I believe there are things that have been slipping in the world, in people's minds, of who God is and what God is and the time we're living in. And I believe that there are people that are just numb and they're not sensitive and they have forgotten maybe what the Word says about certain subjects, specifically about this subject. There is a verse of song, number 405. And it says, eternity draws near as time moves on. When earth shall disappear, I shall have gone out in the great unknown to reap what I have done or what I have sown, summoned before the throne. And of course, the title of the song is, Where Shall I Go? But a portion of that little verse has stuck in my mind. And it says, as time moves on, you and I are beings of time. We know nothing else. We have been ruled by time from our very first breath. When I was born, when you were born, God breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul, and time began to be recorded for you and me. Time is very important, isn't it? I longed for a big hourglass. I'm not one that remembers a lot of messages when I was young, but I do remember one at Monarch. Brother Willie Murphy preached it, and he had a big hourglass about that tall. And he set it up at the beginning of his message, and he preached on time. And it left an impact. Even today, I can still envision that hourglass and the sands moving from the top to the bottom of that. It really made time real. We're sitting here this morning and the seconds are ticking by. And we're not watching it. We're not looking at the clock and seeing the second hand move. We're not doing that. But if we had, and I thought Linda had an hourglass, I called her this morning. She had a little one. I would say this is a 3-minute timer. So maybe with just this little tiny hourglass or 3-minute timer, it's moving very fast because it's so small. I'd like for us to be impressed about time this morning. And I hope that we can not forget it next week when we go about our duties. Let me encourage us all in one way. We all have to go about duties. It's just life. But if you can learn to get a hold of the Lord in the midst of your duties, you're gaining something. You're touching the throne of heaven. If in the midst of your driving, do you pray? Do you think about eternity? Do you think about your soul? Do you think about the Holy Spirit? If ever there was a time that you and I need the Holy Spirit, it is now. We need the Holy Spirit now. As you go about your work, maybe your mind is your job is something that your mind is just required to concentrate. I'm sure there are jobs like that, especially you're taking measurements. You want to make sure that those measurements are right. But at some point, when your mind is no longer required to give its full attention, train your mind to think about eternal things. To even have a prayer in your heart. And let me suggest, pray for yourself. Oh, there's so many people that needs prayer. But you're not able to pray effectively until you have prayed for yourself. I'm finding more of that in my own life, especially in the last 3 or 4 months. I have prayed more for myself in recent months than ever before. Pray for yourself, because time is running out. It's gone. It's already over. This little hourglass is already finished. 3 minutes or so, and it's over. I hope that you can get a feel for the message this morning, and that you can think about time. Just like when the sand goes in the other side, you can't retrieve it. Oh, you say, well, you can turn it up the other way. It's not the same thing. It's the sands have already moved. You and I are in a time world. So I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about time. Time is measured by successive existence. That's a definition. I looked that up. If you ever look it up in the dictionary on time, you'll find a long definition, because it goes into many areas that is more than just me watching the clock. Time is very important. But what it does, there is a past to time, there is a present, and a future, and we have that in our grammar. Our language is geared to represent the past, past tense. We have present tense verbs, and we have future verbs. And so past and present and future has to do with time. Now, past, you and I, every one of us here today has had a past. Even little Caden. Now, our past is measured by the number of our birthdays. That's how much of a past that you have, and I have. So even a first birthday has a first year of their past. Those of us that have watched little Caden come into our congregation as a little baby, and we watched him develop and grow, and I'm going to say mature for a two-year-old. But I'm telling you that he has changed drastically in the 2.5 years of his past. And so each of us, I'm using him as an example because it doesn't matter. All of us have a past today. And right now, because we are alive and breathing and sitting in this audience, we have a present. We have right now. The future is obscure. We cannot see the future. What word do I need to have here that tells me that I don't know the future? The future is hidden from us. The scripture says that we don't know what one day will bring forth. We don't know if we will have tomorrow. We don't know if tomorrow will even be for the whole world. So the future is just sort of veiled. So all we can really think about or talk about in reality is my past and my present. And I can only talk about the future with the words hope. I hope. What do you hope for in the future? Well, if we are pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, we're hoping for eternal things. Because we know we have an eternal soul. That whatever happens to me in this life, if my life comes to an end, I have only an infinite future without end. Infinite is without end. So those are the things that represent time. Time is measured by the clock in seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years. And they add up so fast. I spoke about Caden and watching him grow up. He's not grown up, but in the first 2 or 3 years of a child's life, they change probably the most than in any other part of your life. You may think that's different, but they really have a lot to learn those first few years of their life. And as time goes on, our bodies change. And as we grow older, many things change. Oftentimes, an older person goes back to almost like a child. We all hope that we don't, but it does happen. And so the end of a person's life can be almost like the beginning of a person's life. But time has a way of changing all of us. There is a part of a song that says this: as I thought what a moment might cost. Now, a moment would be representative of a second. 1 second is so fast that, as I have said this sentence, it has taken many seconds. It didn't take just a moment to say a whole sentence. It was many seconds. I would like for us to really realize how time is moving so fast. In each of our lives, it doesn't matter our age. It's quickly passing away. We look at Amanda, and we remember when Amanda was just a little girl. And now she's planning to graduate. And those years have passed so fast. Does it make it real to you when we speak in those terms? It does me. But what do you think about what will one moment cost? Is there a price for one moment? Sometimes there is. Think about a race, a man that is running in a race. Did you know one moment could make the difference between winning and losing? One moment. A fraction of a second, maybe. Because his opponent could be either just 1 second ahead of him, or he could be 1 second behind him. And so you see what a moment would cost in a race? How about a basketball game? Do moments count in the end? There have been many games that have been either won or lost in a moment. I'm going to give you some songs. Our songwriters, did you know we have several songs that are written about time and moments? I'm not going to give you a bunch, just a few. This song says, "Have you any time for Jesus? While this fleeting moments roll." How many moments do we have in a day? We have 60 in a minute and 60 in an hour and 24 in a day. Do we ever feel like that we've wasted some time or moments? You know, as I was praying last night, I had to look back over my week. And I had to say, "Lord, have I wasted some precious time?" And I had to say yes. And you know what I had to do? I had to repent. Because now I'm thinking of time and how precious and fleeting it is. And I don't believe that God's wanting to put us all under any kind of bondage. He just wants us to recognize that time is slipping through my fingers like water. If I were to pour out this water in my hand, would it stay in my hand? It wouldn't. My hand is not cupped well enough to retain any of the water. It would just pour out of my hand, and that's what time is doing in your life and my life. So while the fleeting moments roll, is this mortal life so busy that I cannot save my soul? It says yours, but we're making it personal. What are we doing with our time? Another song says, 236 in your book, and it was called this morning in Sunday school. Did you know it sort of amazes me sometimes when the Lord does this? He gives the song before I come to service, and then somebody calls it. It makes it so real. Watch and pray. That's why I say when you're going about your duties, watch for your own soul, but pray for your own soul. Oh, I know you want to pray for your children. We all want to pray for our children, and I'm not saying don't pray for your children or your family members, but I'm telling you, Paul said in one place, lest I preach to others and I myself become a castaway. That in the very midst of me preaching to others, I lose my own soul. That's what I'm trying to impress upon you. What good will it do if you prayed for everybody else and then you lost your soul? Pray for your soul first. It sounds selfish. And in a way it is. But I want to tell you why you have to do it. Because you are going to stand at the judgment bar of God to give an account of your life, and nobody else is going to be a witness for you. I may think you're the best person in the world, and I may think everything is all right, but God knows. Yes. He's the judge. The scripture says, will not the judge of all the earth do right? Nothing will escape him at the judgment. It doesn't escape him now. Don't forget it. He is judging you and me every day. Sounds negative too. But it can be positive. I count it positive for the Lord to judge me in this life. While I have time. Time. While I have time to do something about it. There's a scripture that says something about our sins going ahead and not following after. Do you know what that means? That means that the Lord is able to see where we are right now and able to work with us and deal with us. But if we reject it, those sins are there to follow me right to the judgment. It's as easy and simple as that. It's while it is time that we take care of these things. Oh, I have said this to the congregation, especially in the last few months. I am seeking the Lord to search me as never before. I have spoken to the congregation here in a testimony how that it just feels like I am pulling my heart open and saying, Lord, search every area. Why would I do that? Because I want to know it now. I don't want to come down to the end and find, I thought I was right, but I'm wrong. So while in time, I've got to take care of those things. So the song says, watch and pray. The tempter may be near us. Keep the heart with jealous care. Are you jealous for your own soul? You better be. You need to be jealous for your own soul. Now listen to the next part. Lest the door, a moment left unguarded, evil thoughts may enter there. I want to tell you, we're going to have to guard our door. You have to. You can just leave it for a moment. A moment. Have you ever had a battle? after you left it for a moment of evil thoughts? You know, the congregation here, you've heard me in the last few weeks how I've even made confession. Been seeking the Lord. Lord, show me anything that is in my heart that would hinder you from working in my life. And then he did. And I found I had some jealous thoughts. Did you know jealousy is cruel? Cruel as the grave. The scripture describes it like that. Oh, we're all so human. And we all have human feelings and we have human emotions and thoughts and our eyes are looking around and we're hearing things and then all of a sudden maybe a little self-pity gets in there and we feel sorry for ourselves and then maybe we feel jealous because somebody else is doing it just a little better than what I am. We're having it a little bit better. I want to tell you, guard your door. You may not have jealousy, but there could be something else. And it will hinder you and me. It will hinder our prayers. It will hinder our progress. It will hinder our spiritual walk. Because you will always have another temptation. Lest the door, a moment left unguarded, evil thoughts may enter there. Okay, I'm going to change just a little bit. I'm going to stir up your pure minds by the words of the prophets. I want you to turn with me to Malachi, the third chapter. There's so much that could be given here this morning. I'm giving you a condensed version. And I want to tell you, I'm praying for the Lord to help me to say more with fewer words. In the third chapter of Malachi, verses, I'm going to be reading parts of verses 1 through 3. And it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple." And the last part of that says, "Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." You know what this is talking about? This is talking about when Jesus came into this world. This is his first coming. And we're in a season of time that our thoughts, and maybe the thoughts of all Christians, are on the birth of Christ. But the world, it is not so. In going about and singing just the few Christmas carols as we did, there are still a people that wants to hear it. But it's getting fewer. I was glad we only had one house that said, "No, we don't want you to sing." I was glad. We give people the option, and so does the Lord. He does not force his salvation on any man. He does not force the word of God. It's you have to choose it. Therefore, as we go up to the doors, we always like for the little children to do the asking. Some people can't turn down little children. And so the little children say, "Would you let us sing? May we sing some Christmas carols?" And they have a choice. And if they say no, we say, "Thank you." We don't force it on them, see? God doesn't force it on anyone. But he came suddenly. After much prophecy of his coming, those that were in the temple waiting for his birth had been studying the scriptures and looking for it. They were anticipating it. They knew the signs were all together right. that everything was set in order, that all they had to do was wait for the coming of the Messiah. And though we might say it was suddenly, in one sense it was. The announcement was just a sudden announcement to shepherds. Shepherds going about their daily duties, taking care of their sheep. Not one time did it cross their mind that they were going to have an experience like they had that night. And all of a sudden, the heavens were opened up and the angels began to sing and they were afraid. But what a message that was given. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Those of you that, and I think I've probably sent cards to everybody, I was inspired by that, especially as we heard of the child on the billboard that says, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of it being told a fairy tale. And then I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. To those that will believe, it is sent for our salvation. That's what this all represents to us, see. And so this first coming, he came, and this is what it said, but who can abide the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appeareth? Now we're still talking about his first coming. For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier, and he shall purify and purge them as gold and silver for a reason. And it tells us in the last sentence. You see, his first coming had a purpose that was beyond what anybody could supply. No one could save anyone except Jesus. And so he came to purify and purge and cleanse from all unrighteousness. And that's his purpose in your life and in mine. And that's why I say, pray for yourself. And say, Lord, search me and try me and see if there's any wicked way in me. This is not to put you under bondage. This is to give you hope for the future, because we haven't lived the future yet. But then it tells here, this is why he came, to purge and purify. And it says that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. So how is your righteousness? Oh, I'm a pretty good righteous person. Until you see yourself as your righteousness is filthy and you have no real goodness. Remember the message of being grafted into the good tree? That's where your source of goodness is. No longer can I say, oh, I'm so good. I am only good because Christ is good. That's where I get my goodness, if there is goodness. That's where I get my righteousness, is from being grafted into that tree. That's where I get my power to overcome me. Thank the Lord. So this was the first coming. Time's getting away, and I'm trying to say fewer words. So he wants to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. This way of remembrance, for me to remember is to be reminded. I believe that we all, maybe we don't just think about his first coming all the time, but it's so good to be reminded of it. Of what his purpose was. Do you like to be awakened to something spiritual? I love it. I love it when the Holy Spirit comes and pulls back that curtain, you might say, and I see with my spiritual eyes. I love that. That's what he tries to do with his people all the time. Not just his people. He's tried to do it through the whole world. That's why he has allowed Christ to be set there next to Santa Claus. Don't ever resent it. Oh, that sounds terrible. But you see, it was that ray of light coming into the world. The world loved darkness, and yet Christ was allowed to have, right by paganism, Christmas. It's all about Santa Claus. It's all about pagan worship, pagan practices, pagan customs. Yet God allowed his son. And down through all of the ages of time, the carols, the Christmas carols, have been played on the radio until in just the last few years. And you have to look for a Christian station now to hear the good Christian carols. But there were messages going out, and that was the ray of light. Oh, when the Lord revealed that to me, I rejoiced. It's okay if Santa Claus is over there. Christ is over here, shining light in a dark world. Thank the Lord. So it's to awaken us. So we're going to stir up your pure minds a little bit more. I want you to think about the 10 virgins. What were they waiting for? They were waiting for the bridegroom. They were all waiting for the same thing. And they were all saved. Time meant something. Because after a while, the moments turned into hours, and the hours turned into days, and the days turned into weeks, and the weeks months, and the months turned into years. And five of them lost something. And suddenly, just as suddenly as his first appearing, suddenly the bridegroom came, and they were short. They had no oil to keep their lamps burning. And so they were instructed, you go and buy some. You go and prepare now. Maybe they thought they had a little bit more time, but it was over. The door was shut. All the moments had been lost where they could have done it. All of the opportunities were passed. Even though they tried to recover right at the end, it was too late. I would like to give you some information. And maybe we'll use our little, I think I'll shake it down a little faster. We'll use our little timer here, and I will ask you to do a little math problem. Okay, let's say this is 3 minutes. Do you know what the worldwide death rate is per minute? 108 people die over the world per minute. Now, how many is that in 3 minutes? While this little sand is moving from the top to the bottom, how many people have gone out into eternity? 328. 324. I took him at his word. While that was happening, 324 people died and went out into eternity, never to have another opportunity. Are they thinking of the opportunities they passed up now? They are, if they're lost. We're not saying 324 die lost. But if they are lost, they're thinking of their lost opportunities. So go back with me again to 2 Peter 3. I would like to read a number of verses out of here just to stir up your pure minds. Knowing this first, verse 3, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And for this they are willingly ignorant. Verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. What is it talking about? The flood. They had the warning of 120 years. Noah building the ark, preaching, warning. They could have turned had they wanted to. And someone said, maybe in a Bible study recently, I think maybe was brought out here, that when it was time, God told them to get in the ark, and then God shut the door. And the question was, what would it have been like if Noah had shut the door? We're all human. We would want our loved ones there. And we might say, well, I'll make room for at least one. But you would open the door and maybe all of them would rush in and then the boat would not float. So when God does something, he shuts the door and that's it. And so this is talking about when the world was in the deluge. But then it goes into the phase that is in the future. We haven't lived this one. That was in the past. We can talk about it. It was history. We can read about it. Did you know that there will be not one person read about the end when it happens? It will not be recorded. There will be nobody left to read about the history of the coming of the Lord. It says, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, and the heavens, but the heavens and the earth, which are right now in the present, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. Verse 8, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord. This is not saying one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. He's simply saying here, time does not mean anything to God like it does you and me. You know, years ago, I've told the congregation this before. In the 90s, I had grandchildren that were still young and innocent. They were not at the age of accountability. And all I could think of is that they're coming to the age of accountability. And Lord, I want them to be in heaven. And I was praying every day, sometimes more than once a day, Lord, please come. Think about the generation that is being born that will be lost if they come to the age. I was reasoning with the Lord. And I did that clear up until the year 2000. it wasn't right. I'm admitting to you, it took God showing me why I was wrong in praying that way. Oh, it was a right motive, you might say, because I wanted these to be saved. But I want to tell you, if you've come to the age of accountability, you can be saved, because His grace is sufficient. And it says where sin doth abound. You all know these scriptures. Sin is abounding in our world, but His grace is more abounding. So whoever comes to the age of accountability, it's in your hands. You can be saved. But this is what the Lord showed me. And I quit praying for the Lord to cut it all short and come. And look, it's been 14 years. Gone past it. 14 years. But this is what the Lord said. And I was even saying, well, Lord, how can you judge people if they would have gotten saved if you had waited longer? And the Lord spoke to me, and it's in His word. He set the time in the foundation of the world. And so what I saw in that is, it's like an alarm clock. You set your alarm clock for it to go off at 6 o'clock in the morning. It goes off at 6 o'clock. The scripture says that no man knows the day or the hour, not even the angels and not even Christ, just the Father. And I looked at this and I said, well, Lord, you must have set an alarm clock for the end of time. And you will not have to apologize to anyone because the alarm clock is set. And I'm satisfied with that. His mercy is new every morning to everyone on the face of the earth. And He's reaching out to everyone to be saved. And as long as there's breath and life and time, they have opportunity if they will seek for it. And so I don't worry about it anymore. Who's going to be lost if He would have maybe not come at that time? It's set. And it's for you and me to meet that time. When that alarm clock goes off, we get up. We wake up. When that alarm clock for the end of time goes off, that's it. And so the scripture says how it's going to end. It's going to end with fire. And it says, don't be ignorant. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Time doesn't mean anything to God. It goes on and it says, He's not willing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, verse 10, will come as a thief in the night. This is His second coming. And don't be deceived by the philosophies of the world that He's coming back to set up His kingdom in Jerusalem. It won't happen. He will not set His foot upon this earth again. This earth, according to this scripture, will be burned up, not over. There are philosophies out there that this world is just going to be burned over and everything that defiles it will be taken away and only the good is left and everybody will stay here and He'll rule and reign. He said on the cross, He said His plan was finished. He didn't give those kind of philosophies in His word. Let us not be blind or deceived. Because He's coming again. The scripture says He will come in the clouds. And those that are in the grave will come up, be resurrected to a new body that are His. They will be called to go into His heaven. Those that are not will be cast into the lake of fire. Very unpopular teaching. And this says, He will come like a thief in the night when you and I are least expecting it. And it says, and in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Doesn't sound like to me it's going to stay. And the elements will melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now that's what we need to have our minds stirred up about. We need to remember it every day. We can get so caught up in the busyness of life and the cares of life that we fail to remember Jesus is coming again. Oh, I've seen that on billboards. I've read it all my life. I've heard ministers preach on it. It's time to preach on it again. This is it. This is the message. Again. Thank the Lord. To stir up our pure minds by way of remembering every message that you've ever heard. Even when you were a child. I heard it when I was a child. Verse 11. Seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, it asks a question. What kind of person should you be? What kind of person should I be? Do you understand why I feel an urgency for the Lord to search me now in time? The next verse says something else. And it will only be those that are truly desiring his return, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. Are you looking forward to it? Do you anticipate it? Do you desire it earnestly? Pray for me.